It is Wednesday, March 15th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, U.S. President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping are expected to meet next month, with trade relations being high on the agenda.
The value of China's market and the value of economic cooperation has diminished somewhat.
Tensions between Turkish and European Union officials continue to mount, and the rock band Maroon 5 releases a new single. It's all ahead. At the end of the annual meeting of the National People's Congress Wednesday in China, Chinese Premier Li Keqiang said Beijing does not want a trade war with the United States. He said that would not make trade more fair. Mr. Li said China-U.S. relations have been going forward in spite of various twists and turns, and regardless of who is U.S. president. He said he remained optimistic about the future of this relationship. Media reports indicate that President Donald Trump will host his Chinese counterpart, Xi Jinping, April 6th and 7th at Mr. Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, visiting Japan, South Korea, and China, is expected to work out the final details of their first meeting. The two leaders have spoken by phone. During last year's election campaign, candidate Trump was critical of Chinese trade practices and angered Beijing in December after taking a post-election congratulatory phone call from Taiwan's leader. Scott Harold, a RAND Corporation political scientist, tells International Edition's Victor Beatty economic ties have been the bright light in a relationship that has become more contentious over security matters.
The economic aspect of the relationship historically over the last 30-plus years often was referred to as kind of the ballast in the relationship. In other words, when the geostrategic military intelligence rivalry aspect got too harsh, at least we had the economy and the trade and investment relationships to kind of help steady the ship. I think, unfortunately, as China has grown more and more aggressive in its efforts to try to climb the value-added chain, including by stealing intellectual property from foreign companies and made the domestic Chinese market much harder for foreign companies to operate in, that the value of China's market and the value of economic cooperation has diminished somewhat.
One of the top issues, of course, is North Korea. Another is the South China Sea. Another is Taiwan, where the Trump administration apparently preparing a robust package of weapons for Taiwan. Can any of these issues be dealt with successfully?
I think on the North Korea issue, China's response has largely been to try to blame South Korea for North Korea's actions and to try to punish South Korea for wanting to help the United States to defend South Korea. I'm thinking here of South Korea's approval of the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense Ballistic Missile Shield to help defend U.S. forces stationed in Korea. China's reaction has been to begin investigating all of the entities that are associated with the Korean entities, namely the Lotte Corporation, which has branches in China, and to begin expelling Korean products from the Chinese market, as well as shutting off tourism and travel to South Korea by Chinese tour operators. So that suggests that the North Korea issue is one area where, while we should be cooperating, while we would appreciate China's cooperation, I doubt that we can count on it. South China Sea, even more so, since I think China regards that as an area where they have substantially changed the status quo in a direction that they regard as very helpful to them materially in terms of operational capabilities. Then the question of Taiwan, and I think there, again, this is something where China regards it as an area that is only within China's purview. I think the United States and many other countries, while they may not say so explicitly, do not regard China's claims to Taiwan in the same way that China does, and do not believe that China should be able to use force to absorb or coerce Taiwan into unification against the will of the people of Taiwan.
And that is Scott Harold, a RAND Corporation political scientist. At his post-Congress news conference Wednesday, Premier Li Keqiang said China resolutely opposes Taiwan's independence and insists on maintaining the One China policy. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. And Andrew, I understand there's a lot going on.
Yeah, a trio of stories here in the U.S. That are breaking just as we're on the air, all relating to hacking and wiretapping, all of those issues. The Department of Justice has announced that they're seeking four Russians, including two FSB agents, that's Russia's spy service, in a hack of Yahoo in 2013 and 2014 that was called one of the biggest hacks in U.S. history. So they've announced that they're seeking those people in that hack. The FBI director, James Comey, has announced that he'll be testifying about Russia's involvement in hacking in the 2016 presidential election here in the U.S. And then also a little earlier today, the House Intelligence Committee responded to allegations of wiretapping by the Obama administration of Trump Tower and said that there was no evidence of that. So a lot of things breaking in the digital realm, including another story that's a more global story about a number of Twitter accounts that have been hacked. Now, a little bit of background about this story. Turkey is voting next month on changes to their constitution, and Turkish government leaders wanted to campaign in the Netherlands among diaspora Turks, which was something the Netherlands did not want. So there's been a diplomatic back and forth between the Netherlands and Turkey, and amid this dispute, dozens, if not hundreds, of different Twitter accounts were hacked earlier today, featuring hashtag Nazi Holland, Nazi imagery, and links to videos of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, seemingly pro-Erdogan video. The accounts that have been hacked include Amnesty International, Forbes magazine, UNICEF, accounts linked to Reuters, the BBC, and even Justin Bieber, of all people.
So quite a range there.
Quite a range. A number of people have been hacked. It's unclear who carried out the attacks, but Twitter has deleted all those tweets, and they are looking into it. But this diplomatic dispute appears now to have gone into the digital realm.
Yeah, and will no doubt be continuing, I think.
Yes.
All right, thanks a lot, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. U.S. House intelligence panel leaders say there's no evidence that former President Obama, wiretrapped the headquarters of Donald Trump. U.S. senators are calling for more special immigrant visas for Afghans. President Trump and Saudi Deputy Crown Prince agree to strengthen ties. And the British foreign minister makes a rare visit to the capital of Somalia. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
The sun is a giant ball of hot gas and plasma. Like other objects, the sun does rotate on its axis. But since it's not a solid object such as Earth, different parts of the sun rotate at different rates. The sun's inner layers rotate at a faster rate than its surface. Now, a new study by U.S. and Brazilian researchers suggests that there may be a simple explanation why. The study proposes that the angular momentum of photons that radiate out from the sun's surface provides enough pushback to provide resistance that causes it to slow its rotation. Research team took data gathered by NASA's Helioseismic and Magnetic Imager to get the sun's rotational speed. They then created a model of the braking effect brought on by the escaping photons. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, we look at efforts to protect refugee children. Tensions between Turkey and the European Union continue to escalate, with Ankara warning that a refugee deal with the bloc is at risk. The threat is the latest escalation in a dispute that started with the banning of Turkish ministers speaking at rallies in Europe for a referendum to extend presidential powers. Dorian Jones reports from Istanbul.
Turkey's EU affairs minister, Ömer Çelik, further ratcheted up tensions Wednesday, saying Turkey has fulfilled its obligations regarding the agreement, but the European Union has failed to keep its promises.
Hatta göçmenler konusundaki insani durum Avrupa'da daha kötü.
He says when he looks at the obligations the European Union should have fulfilled, he does not see any reason why Turkey should maintain the migrant deal. Under last year's deal, Turkey agreed to step up security of its borders and accept back migrants who entered EU countries illegally from its territory. The agreement helped to slow the massive exodus of migrants into Europe. But Ankara has accused Brussels of failing to honour its side of the bargain of granting visa-free travel in EU countries for Turks, a charge Brussels denies. The dispute has come to the fore as tensions rise with the Netherlands and Germany over the banning of Turkish ministers campaigning to ethnic Turks before a referendum to extend presidential powers. Political columnist Semih Idiz of Al Monitor says the refugee deal is seen by Ankara as a useful card to play against Europe.
An impression has been created by this government, and that this is the mistake from the beginning in negotiating this deal. It turned into a bartering situation. You know, you give us this and you give us the visas and we'll give you this and that sort of thing. Greece, I understand, is in a panic because, you know, there's the fear that, you know, without the deal, then we will have the disorganized flood of people again.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has led an unprecedented war of words against Dutch and German leaders, and the wider EU has also been strongly condemned by Ankara for failing to take its side. Political consultant Attila Yeşilada of Global Source Partners says such rhetoric is aimed at consolidating Erdogan's nationalist voting base before the April referendum that polls indicate remains too close to call. Yeşilada says Ankara is probably bluffing in cancelling the refugee deal, given its likely consequences.
Taking such a step would mean cutting the umbilical link cord to EU, because it's not ordinary times for EU. I mean, such a step would come right before the French and a few months before the German elections. I would assume Europe would do something in return. Temporary suspension of accession talks might be brought to the table.
A suspension of EU talks would add to Turkey's growing diplomatic isolation, as well as dealing a major blow to the country's already struggling economy. But given pressure is growing in Europe to harden its stance towards Turkey, analysts warn Erdogan could be trapped by his own rhetoric and forced to take measures against the EU. Dorian Jones, VOA News, Istanbul.
Sometimes refugee children are targeted for exploitation. Representatives of the Holy See say the Roman Catholic Church plans to actively lobby local churches and parishes around the world to do more to protect and assist thousands of unaccompanied migrant and refugee children at risk of exploitation and abuse. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
At the bidding of Pope Francis, a new section devoted to achieving a more vigorous response to the protection and assistance needs of refugees and migrants was established at the Vatican early this year. International Catholic Migration Commission Secretary General Monsignor Robert Vitillo says a special focus will be on helping unaccompanied migrant and refugee children on the move.
They face the great risk of vulnerability to human traffickers, sexual predators, and other unscrupulous persons who wish to cause harm to children and adolescents, and are finding themselves as the victims of organ trafficking, sexual trafficking, child labor, and early marriage.
Europol estimates more than 10,000 unaccompanied children have gone missing in Europe after registering with state authorities during the past 2 years. Vitillo says it is feared they have fallen into the hands of organized trafficking syndicates. Many churches and Catholic organizations around the world already have projects that provide shelter and other aid to unaccompanied minors. Reverend Father Michael Czerny works in the migrant and refugee section at the Vatican and is one of two priests who reports directly to Pope Francis. He tells VOA it is up to local churches and parishes to set their own policies. For example, he says the decision to open sanctuary to illegal migrants in the United States is up to the diocese or parish.
I visited the States a month ago, and one of the things that I learned, which I haven't seen explored elsewhere, is that the notion of sanctuary is not very clear. Let's say it's clearer spiritually and culturally than it is legally.
Czerny says he believes the church in the United States will want to have a pretty solid understanding of what sanctuary does or does not mean as more and more parishes become involved in the movement. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
This is International Edition. The popular rock band Maroon 5 has issued a new single, and VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me now to tell us all about it.
The band started off as a group called Kara's Flowers when Adam and several of his bandmates were students at UCLA in Southern California, and the band at that time was an a cappella group. And it has evolved over the years into what it is today. Maroon 5 are best known for the rock songs, the poppy, up-tempo songs that they have been putting out for a couple of years. Adam recently was honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It's been a busy 12 months for him. His wife, Bahati Prinsloo, also gave birth to their first child. They named the little girl Dusty Rose. So, and of course, he's also back on The Voice on television, NBC television, as one of the coaches. He and his fellow coach, Blake Shelton, are the only two that have been on the show since it started. And the new season is underway right now. It's hard to tour when you're a coach on a TV show at the same time. But they managed to fit some shows in along the way. They are releasing their sixth album this year. We don't have a release date. We don't have an album name. What we do have is a second single, so we're going to listen to it right now. And the new song is called Cold.
Cold enough to chill my bones. It feels like I don't know you anymore. I don't understand why you're so cold.
The title of the song is very appropriate for today's weather here in Washington.
Yes, we're all dressed in sweaters, and we've got our boots on and snow shovels out. Cold is the name of the song for Maroon 5, which is the second single off of their next album. The first song was called Don't Wanna Know, which features Kendrick Lamar, who's a very popular rap singer who is going to be performing at the Coachella Valley Music Festival. And the new single, Cold, features another rap artist who's also popular. His name is Future. And Future has two albums out himself. He's going out on his own tour. No video yet for the song Cold. However, the previous song, Don't Want to Know, has a video which features all the guys in Maroon 5 driving in a car dressed as Pokemon characters. And it's ironic because Maroon 5 have just partnered with a mobile app company and released a Pac-Man Pokemon mobile app game. So I guess it's kind of in sync with one another.
But what everyone should have.
Everyone needs their own Pokemon game. So, yes, congratulations to Adam on all his success. And we are very excited about the new album, album number 6, when it does come out. So far, the two tunes are great. The new one, which just came out, is called Cold, and that's our feature song for today.
All right. Thanks very much, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
So cold enough to chill my bones. It feels like I don't know.
And that song, Cold, by Maroon 5. Well, in other show business news, actor Ben Affleck says he recently checked out of a rehabilitation program for alcohol addiction. The actor, most recently known for portraying Batman, revealed the news in a Facebook post on Tuesday. The actor has a history of alcoholism, having been in rehab in 2001. He wrote on Facebook, "I have completed treatment for alcohol addiction, something I've dealt with in the past and will continue to confront." In his post, he said the action was largely motivated by his desire to be a good parent. Affleck separated from his wife, actress Jennifer Garner, in 2015, but there has not been a formal divorce. The couple has three children. Later this year, Affleck will appear as Batman in the movie Justice League, which opens on November 17th. Well, as we've noted a bit earlier, today is March 15th, and it is not uncommon to read or hear the phrase, "Beware the Ides of March." Well, now, why is that? Well, traditionally, the Ides of March marks the day the Roman leader Julius Caesar was assassinated by members of the Roman Senate in 44 BCE. Historical accounts say a psychic warned Caesar, who had himself named dictator for life, to beware the day. Caesar failed to heed the warning, walking into the Senate only to be stabbed 23 times by about 60 conspirators. Among the murderers was his closest friend, Marcus Brutus, who was immortalized by Caesar's dying words, "Et tu, Brute." And that's our show. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Iraqi security forces continue to make progress in their fight to liberate the Iraqi city of Mosul from ISIS terrorists. Iraqi forces have succeeded in taking back Mosul International Airport, said the commander of Combined Joint Task Force Operation Inherent Resolve. Speaking to Pentagon reporters via teleconference from Baghdad, Army Lieutenant General Stephen Townsend said Iraqi forces have begun breaching into the outskirts of the city, with the Iraqi Counterterrorism Service, Federal Police, and Army moving along three axes of advance that clear the enemy from neighborhoods inside the city, but also enveloping the city to the west. "This enemy's been preparing for this battle for some time," said General Townsend, "and they've done an extensive amount of work to dig and build barriers to complicate the Iraqi advance. We've seen them use tunnels, shipping containers, and vehicles in the streets to slow the Iraqi forces down, and they've rigged many of these barriers with explosives. The U.S.-led coalition continues to strike those barriers with precision fire to help the Iraqis advance," Townsend said. ISIS has been dealt another significant blow in Syria, where Turkish-backed Syrian opposition forces have liberated al-Bab, the last significant ISIS-controlled population center in the Aleppo district. "Freeing al-Bab," said General Townsend, "has closed the door to ISIS' supply line of new fighters and its ability to export terrorists around the world. The liberation of al-Bab also means Turkey now has secured its border from ISIS," the general noted. The coalition is committed to the security of Turkey and will continue to work in close coordination with partner forces and allies to deliver a lasting defeat to ISIS, which remains the greatest terrorist threat to the region and the world, said General Townsend. The coalition continues planning for the eventual liberation of Raqqa, ISIS' self-proclaimed capital, Townsend told reporters. "The liberation of Raqqa will bring an end to the enemy's mythology that they were ever more than a brutal, murderous terrorist group. And then we will continue working with our partners to deal them a lasting defeat."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.